It's all good because I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm the guy.
Welcome back to the Gerwick Report podcast. It is Tuesday, April the 26th, 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerweck.net. Gerwick.net is your source for all your pro wrestling news since 1997, and it is episode 128 of the GRP, the podcast that tells it like it is. And let me turn it over to my tag team partner, the one and only Frank D.
What's going on, Steve?
Well, another good day here on the podcast, and we're welcoming back our new tag team partner, back for his weekly visit, the one, the only, former SmackDown ECW general manager, the manager of Legends, former referee, and of course, he is a member of the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame, a real Hall of Fame, the one and only Teddy Long.
You know it's the Mac Militant.
Coming to get it on.
Holla, holla, holla. And hey, Steve, Frank, we're going to have to change this title. We're going to not only make, this is not going to just be a tag team. This is going to be a triple threat tag team match. That's what we're going to call it from now on because I'm definitely involved in it, players.
Oh, no doubt.
And you have the authority to make that happen, former general manager.
Exactly. Exactly. I do have the authority, and believe me, I will put it in use.
Okay, well, we'll definitely make note of that. And as always, I want to remind people that you can listen to the Gerwick Report podcast at www.gerwick.net. Also, download our shows through iTunes, leave comments. And we're also on TuneIn Radio and Stitcher. So you can go up there and stream our shows as well. And Frank D., update us on what's going on the YouTube channel.
The YouTube channel exclusively now has the Raw Deal podcast with myself and Atlee Green, so you can check that out right now. We just did an episode the other day, and it's really kick-ass. We talk about the Harris brothers going to TNA and attempting to buy the company. We talk about that. We talk about China. We talk about Prince. So you can listen to that right now over at youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Like and subscribe to our channel. We definitely appreciate that. Also, if you want to buy a shirt, you can get the shirt right now for $17.99. All you got to do is head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. And if you can't buy a shirt today, just tell people about the GRP. Tell people about Breaking Raw. Tell people about the Raw Deal. Basically, just tell people about Gerwick.net, and we definitely appreciate that, Steve.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, did a podcast with Atlee Green talking about Prince. We did the last podcast. We didn't mention Prince's passing. Let's get Teddy Long's comments. What'd you think when one of the most talented musicians of all time, a string of number one hits, what was your reaction when the Purple Man himself, Prince, passed away?
Well, my reaction was it was kind of like the same way I felt about Michael Jackson. You know, it was like, what a big surprise. You know, you never, you know, would dream, you know, that you would lose Prince at such an early age or lose him at all. You know, I did keep up kind of with the news, you know, where they said he made the emergency landing in Moline, Illinois, and had to go to the hospital there, and they, you know, said it was the flu. So, you know, people do, you know, the flu does make you sick. You do get sick like that. So I kind of thought it was just maybe sick-related. I had no idea that it turned out, you know, it would have turned out the way that it did turn out. But I think it's a real tragic that we lost, you know, such a talented person.
last week, it was almost the same day, China and Prince were announced officially deceased. The wrestling community, and I guess really just in general, the story of China's passing was all on mainstream television, was on CNN. A number of entertainment outlets picked it up. It was big news. China was a pioneer. She really set a tone for DX back in the day, and I was glad to see that, you know, people were picking up on this, that she was somebody. She just wasn't a name in the past. I guess the latest developments here, Frank, is that the official release for her death, as far as what happened with China, has been delayed by the coroner's office. The investigation is ongoing, and we also learned since our last podcast that the manager of China, which I believe the guy's name is Anthony Anzeldo, announced that he had actually worked out a deal with the entertainment show Intervention, which I don't know if you guys have ever seen that show, but basically they do a real intervention where somebody's messed up on drugs or alcohol or whatever the situation is, and they try to do a live intervention, or I should say a pre-taped intervention for the television show. But I guess he confirmed to TMZ that they had just worked that out. So details are still sketchy here, Frank, but I guess that's the latest developments, what's going on with China.
Yeah, the LA County Coroner's Office have delayed the cause of death, citing additional investigation. And what that pretty much means is that right now they can't find a cause of death. They don't know what happened to her. So that's why it's being delayed by the LA County Coroner's Office. Also, as you just mentioned here, her manager worked out a deal with the TV show Intervention. I've seen Intervention. It's pretty intense. And I guess they already had a facility they picked out. She was going to stay there for about 90 days. And what I read in the release there was that they were going to use some of her, you know, friends from the wrestling business. I believe on the list were Stone Cold Steve Austin, Mick Foley, that they were going to use for that show. So it was very unfortunate that this happened and that she was, you know, really never able to have that intervention and to get that help. Also, Steve, I don't know if you know this or not, but her manager actually was recording when they made the discovery of the body. But that won't be included in the documentary that we're working on, the reconstruction of China. It's pretty crazy shit.
Wow.
I also heard the maker of the documentary that she was working with said the documentary is still going to come out. It's going to have a different title, but it's going to come out next spring. So I guess the project is still in the works.
Yeah, I mean, he says that that footage of him finding her body, it won't be included on the documentary, but you'll probably hear the audio of that. So I believe it's going to come out. In this situation here, unfortunately for Joni Lauer, there is no happy ending here. It won't be a happy ending story for this situation. So I'm kind of curious to see what they do with it, but 45 years old is very young to lose your life, especially if it could have been avoided.
And, of course, last night was Monday Night Raw. We talked about this on the podcast, the previous edition. You know, what would they do for China? I think they did exactly kind of what we predicted. We got the graphic to start off the show. There was, what, a 2-minute and 18-second video tribute to China. And I'm going to say this, and I'll get some heat. I'll get some friction for saying this. People are going to say, at least they did something for her. At least they acknowledged her on the show. Now, I will say, yes, they did. They did acknowledge her. They did what they had to do, I think, in my opinion. And we've talked about this before, too. You know, they don't have to do anything. They play by their own rules. They could just totally erase you from the memory banks. But at least they acknowledged China with the graphic to open up the show. And there was this 2-minute and something video. The problem with the video, Frank, is it seemed like something they could probably have put together in about 15, 20 minutes. It was kind of bombarded with all the tweets that wrestling personalities had tweeted during the or after her passing. There was Lita's tweet, Trish's tweet. A lot of members on the current roster were tweeting, and it kind of distracted me from the presentation, not to mention the music used was just a generic piece of music. I'll get slack for this, but I'm going to say it just wasn't exactly a moving tribute piece. To me, it could have been better, should have been better. They had several days to work on it. She passed, what, Wednesday of last week. Didn't seem like they put a lot of effort into that. And I just, after it was over and I watched it, Frank, I was just a little disappointed overall.
I mean, I agree with you, Steve. At least they gave her a tribute because, once again, as we like to say on this show, they don't have to do anything. So at least they gave her a tribute. But that was the first thing that I thought when I saw it last night, was that, you know something, they could have put a little bit more effort into this tribute. Here is a person that was truly a pioneer in the WWE, was doing things at the time that women just weren't doing. And they showed a couple of pictures of her with Shawn and Triple H when they were DX. A lot of the footage, though, was dedicated to her run with Eddie Guerrero, and then when she won the IC and the Women's Championship. So, I mean, those were okay moments, but at the same time, if you look at the presentation and the tribute that they did for her, as opposed to they did for Randy Savage or the Ultimate Warrior, it's completely way off par for WWE. It's just, they didn't even use a real song. They used a generic piece of music. It's just, they could have put more effort into it. I'm glad they did the graphic at the beginning of the show. I'm glad they did the tribute, but it left a lot to be desired. I just put it like that. But you know what? It's better than nothing.
They had this clip of course, China wins the Intercontinental Championship, and they cut you right out of the picture because you were the referee for the China-Jeff Jarrett match when she won the championship.
Well, you know, I guess they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want the people to see me either. So, you know, who knows why they do some of the stuff that they do. But my comment on that is, you know, I'm just happy and glad that they did do something, you know, and that's all I have to say about it.
I guess it shows you where you rank, even in death, because now that she's passing, she's not a threat. We've talked about this before as well, as she's not going to say anything against the company now. You think with several days of downtime, they could have put a better video together. And I know we're going to get a lot of slack. We're nitpicking. Hey, they did something. They didn't have to do something. I don't know, Frank. They did have to do something. I mean, I know we can say they didn't have to do anything, but I don't know how you can't erase China from the record books. And they did bring up that she was the backbone of DX, which I guess, Frank, you're telling me from a lot of the older shows, that is the narrative they use. She was the backbone of DX. So you can't erase her from the memory book or the record book, but at least you could have gave her a little more tribute than what they did. And I just, you know, when it was all over, I'm glad they did it. I was looking forward to seeing what they would put up, but it just, as you said, it left a lot to be desired.
Well, you know, see, my thing is that they gave the Ultimate Warrior a presentation on the stage with everybody out there. They gave him the 10-bell salute. But this is the same guy that trashed the company. This is the same guy that they put out the Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD. They were in a legal battle for what? I mean, they were in a legal battle forever. And then all of a sudden they came to terms, whatever. He comes back and does the Hall of Fame, and then the next day he dies, unfortunately. But who had a bigger impact, or who stayed longer in the WWE? Was it the Ultimate Warrior, or was it China? It was China. I mean, during the explosion of the business, and I'm talking about the Monday Night War, the Ultimate Warrior was nowhere to be seen. You know, he was out of wrestling period. He came back for that little cup of coffee in WCW, but China was there. China was in the WWF at the time, doing, you know, big things. You know, competing in the Royal Rumble match, winning the Intercontinental Championship, wrestling the men. You know, so it's just, it leaves a lot to be desired, like I said, man. I mean, Dusty Rhodes had the same kind of tribute. Warrior gets the same kind of tribute. Roddy Piper got that kind of tribute. And I'm not saying that they didn't deserve it, but at the same time, what makes them so different than China? Other than the fact that China had the issue with Triple H and Stephanie, and that's pretty much what it was. I mean, let's call it a spade a spade.
Something that also happened as a follow-up was a tweet by Billy Gunn's wife, and I'll just say what she tweeted here, actually later deleted. She put, "Acknowledging someone after they've passed doesn't make up for how shitty you were to them while they were alive. Hashtags, hypocrites, and fakes." Now, this story was posted, this tweet was posted, the tweet was deleted, and then her whole account was deleted. Paula, Billy Gunn's wife, the only question would be, Frank, here, and I agree with the sentiment from the tweet, but the problem I have is, if you're going to tweet something, tweet it, stand behind it. Just stand up for what
you
believe in.
Well, I go along, I agree with you, Steve, you know what I mean? Why put something up there that you say and then you're going to take it down? That makes you look like a coward. So if you know what you're talking about and you put it out there, then be able to stand behind it.
You know what they're going to say, Teddy? The same thing that slack you get on this podcast is if you say anything positive about WWE, you're an Uncle Tom because you want to go back. So that made it look like, well, here's the wife of Billy Gunn. She tweets that this comment that WWE's hypocrites, then it's deleted. So it looks like maybe Billy Gunn said, hey, get rid of that tweet. I don't want that out there. I'm only like 6 months removed from working from the company. I was a trainer in NXT, whatever. I want good graces. I want to get back into WWE. And that's, to me, Frank, that's what it looked like, was maybe Billy says, hey, I don't need this flack right now. Just get rid of it.
I mean, it goes back to having integrity in the business. Integrity, that's the word. And a lot of people in the business don't have integrity, just like a lot of wrestling fans don't have integrity. When somebody's trying to tell you the truth, you bitch all over that. You know what I'm saying? So it all goes back to integrity. And obviously, if you weren't going to keep the tweet up, you never should have tweeted it out to begin with. Because once you put something out there in the internet, it's out there forever.
She didn't really help herself by deleting the account. If it's out there, somebody's got it.
But yeah, I agree with what she's saying. I definitely agree with that. But at the same time, we keep it 100 here on the, you know, Gerber Report podcast. We keep it 1,000 here on GRP. Here's the bottom line. Bottom line is that China tried to get back into good graces with WWE after you've accused somebody of beating you up. All of a sudden she said about Triple H and Stephanie and Vince McMahon, I don't think that McMahon is going to be too forthcoming with trying to, you know, forgive you for what you said. I mean, Vince McMahon still hasn't forgiven people for what happened back during the Monday Night War. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, he never forgets.
Let me ask Teddy, too. They put up a graphic for Balls Mahoney, right?
I don't know. I didn't see one.
I can't tell you. If they did, I wouldn't know about it. I don't know. I think they might have done something for him on the website, but I don't remember them actually having a graphic on the show. I could be wrong. You know, so before anybody out there slams me in the comment section, I'm telling you right now, I don't know.
I didn't see it.
I don't believe they did one for Axel Rotten. I'm pretty sure they didn't. So, I don't know, Teddy, when you were there, a death would occur like that. Did you ever get the sense that it was, well, we don't really want to glorify these deaths because we're rampage of deaths. And it seems to always come in clusters where it's two or three or four right within a short period of time. Did you ever sense a reluctance from WWE to say, hey, let's not put a shadow on these deaths because it makes us look bad. You know, another wrestler, 40-something years old, just drops dead. It puts a very negative light not only on the wrestling business, but certainly WWE, because most everybody passing away are former WWE employees. So was there, did you ever sense a reluctance from WWE to say, well, let's cool it on all these tributes and graphics?
No, I never sensed that, because here's the reason why. You know, basically, you know, my position was talent. When they get ready to do these tributes or whatever to about someone's death, you know, that's behind closed doors. That's with Vince and maybe the writers and the people in the TV truck or whoever. So the talent doesn't really, you know, get to be involved in that kind of decision. So, you know, we as talent, you know, we feel bad because it's somebody that we've had the opportunity to work with for a number of years, somebody that we've grown close to and that we know. So it's like losing a family member to one of us, you know what I mean? With the Eddie Guerrero thing, that was just hurting to me because I really had a good time with Eddie. So I never felt that they wanted, you know, try to not say anything about someone's death. And then I don't think that they could, you know, do that. I mean, if it happens, it happens. You have to talk about it, whether it makes the company look bad or not. It's just something that you have to talk about. And then a lot of them die, you know, this doesn't really, you can't blame it on WWE. Some, you know, some people are their own boss. You know, if you don't take something, then don't want nothing happen to you. So you just can't blame it on the company. I think the person, that the individual, has a lot to do with it himself. But I never sensed that they didn't want to talk about someone's death.
And I think, Frank, you put up the clip with Linda McMahon. She did a short interview with, Fox Business, I believe it was, where, again, she's using the company line. She's a pioneer. She's a trailblazer. I was a little surprised at the end of the interview they mentioned China, but, I mean, that's very relevant what's going on currently. And I guess that's going to be the narrative they use for her. She was the backbone of DX, and she was a pioneer and a trailblazer.
Well, that's as much respect as China, Joni Lauer, is going to get from the company. And as soon as people stop talking about this, they'll stop talking about it. But as far as future network releases or DVD releases, if they do anything on DX, I mean, one day they might decide, hey, let's do a Joni Lauer China DVD production, and that'll be the narrative. Pioneer trailblazer for women in wrestling. You know, they'll do that, and I'm pretty sure Triple H will speak on it, and so will Stephanie and Sean Waltman and all these different people. It'll be a very interesting thing if they actually do it. But Linda McMahon also stated recently too, Steve, that if you think that the WWE programming will ever go back to TV-14 like the Attitude Era, it's not going to happen anytime soon. That's what she said.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me either. Even John Cena the other day. John Cena says that he misses blood. Go figure.
Teddy, as well, it was a few weeks back I was going to mention this on the podcast. I never got to it. Jim Cornette did a rant because there was a segment where Roman Reigns used a blood capsule. You know, they use fake blood, and he's old school. You know, you blade. That's the way you get juice out there. You get color that way. And he was going nuts on WWE for using a blood capsule, and that we're in this new era. But I don't know, Teddy, what do you think? You're kind of old school as well. What do you think about blood, toning it down, and even going so far as use a blood capsule?
Well, I think, back in the day, guys didn't know any better. You know, that's the way it was done. You know, you had to get the real blood. But, in this modern day and time, this is the 20th century, I agree with that capsule. I don't agree with some guy, cutting his head open. And, there's a lot of things out there now like Hep C. We didn't know nothing about that back in the day, about hepatitis C and stuff. So that's how a lot of guys got that and didn't even know why or didn't even know how they got it. So you got to be careful with that blood. And especially now with a lot of our young kids now, they're a lot different from back in the day, man. They see something on TV, the next thing they're doing it. Whether the wrestler did it, I can do it, on that way. So I agree with that capsule. I don't agree with these guys cutting their heads open right now. It's too much, you can catch Hep C. That's not good. That's not healthy.
And I guess the other development, Frank, was what they announced that China's brain will be donated.
Yeah, exactly. At least we'll see exactly what may have led to some of her decisions throughout her life.
Any thoughts on that, Teddy?
Well, the more that they can keep China's name out there, I think it's the better. I'm really, it's sad to see her get as much, getting all this, prestige when after she's gone. I wish she could have lived and been able to turn herself and her life around and got the praise that she deserves. But, to keep her out there like this, I think it's a good thing. And, let's see what's going on with her brain.
Now, is this going to be done by the Chris Nowinski Foundation, Sports Legacy Institute?
I didn't see anything official on that. I'm hoping that's probably, I would think that would be the case, but I can't assume that. I'm not sure they officially announced that.
Basically, Christopher Nowinski is the guy that basically has been doing all the brain investigation. I think that he would probably be the one to do that. I think, didn't his company do the one on Chris Benoit?
I believe so. I believe so, yeah.
So that was the one where they tested his brain. It was, what, an 80-year-old man?
Yeah, 70-year-old man with Alzheimer's.
Because Christopher Nowinski came and talked to us. We had a little seminar meeting with him, right after that, and he explained all about Benoit's brain and everything to us. I remember going to that meeting now.
So, Teddy, did you happen to see, I know we were talking a little about China and the tribute. Did you happen to see much of Raw this week?
Yeah, I saw quite a bit of Raw. I thought the show was a decent show. I have to, give AJ Styles a lot of credit. He's a guy that just came in the company and getting a great big push. Very good for him. Last night he had a great match with Sheamus, a guy that has some credibility. He's a former world heavyweight champion. So I really enjoyed it. Usos and Luke and Carl Gallus, I thought they had a good match. The show was not bad last night. It was a pretty decent show.
I mean, it was okay. It wasn't like the best thing I ever seen. It was an okay show. I thought the Hartford, Connecticut crowd though sucked ass last night. They were terrible. I mean, they were a terrible crowd. They weren't reacting to much of nothing. And I thought that last night, the matches were there. I mean, but they just weren't doing it. And I don't know if it's just they feel that it's not on par with what they are used to getting. But nonetheless, I thought WWE put out a decent effort last night. I liked a lot of the aspects of the show. I mean, we got to see real build-up to feuds going into a pay-per-view, which is like damn. you know, WWE was actually doing some pretty decent storytelling last night. I mean, we saw the final build for AJ and Roman Reigns. Where does the Luke Anderson, or, you know, where does the Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, allegiance lie? You know, I mean, WWE is kind of making it seem like, you know, AJ Styles is on the same, and they're in collusion together with, you know, with the Bullet Club members, but then Roman Reigns is kind of, you know, questioning this thing, and it smells like a big swerve. I don't know why, but it just seems like they're going to swerve everybody with Roman Reigns and Anderson and Gallows there. But I enjoyed the segment between Enzo, Big Cass, with New Day and the Vaudevillains. I thought that was entertaining. I liked the build up for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Showing those pictures helps a lot. It would have been better if they would have shown some the Ring of Honor footage to show how, you know, this feud really goes back. The final build for Natalya versus Charlotte for the Women's Championship, with Ric Flair in Charlotte's corner and Bret the Hitman Hart going to be in Natalya's corner, even though he really doesn't want to be there. But nonetheless, he'll be there at Payback. But I thought it was a decent show. Like I said before, it's not anything that blew me away, but I thought from a storytelling standpoint, I thought it was a good show.
Ring of Honor, what's that? They're going to put Ring of Honor on WWE television.
Well, you know what? They've done that in the past, though. I mean, they got footage for CM Punk's documentary a couple years ago. They licensed some Ring of Honor footage. So I would think if they really want to push this over the hilt, let's bring up the fact that Sami Zayn was El Generico. Let's bring up, you know, Kevin Steen. I mean, they can show this shit before they got to WWE. I don't really see the problem with it. I mean, everybody knows there is wrestling outside of WWE. I mean, they said it last night when Carl Anderson and Gallows were out there wrestling. They were a part of a club in Japan. You know, everybody, I mean, let's not play people stupid. It's just, they can do it if they want to do it, Steve.
Well, they don't want to they don't want to give anybody any credit. They don't want to say that some guy came from this organization to give that organization any credit. So that's exactly what they're doing. And anything that happens with WWE, that it happens right there. They created it. They did it.
That seems more like a WWF policy back in the day, when somebody would show up from another company, they would just kind of erase their whole history. You know, when Tully and Arn show up on WWF television, they're just the brain busters. We're not going to talk about the Four Horsemen. So.
Well, I mean, you say it's a WWF policy, but it's still the same company. It's WWE, but it's WWF.
Same people running it.
Of course, they also announced that at Payback, which I have to chuckle at this a little bit, at Payback, Vince McMahon returns, and he's going to decide if Stephanie or Shane will continue to run Raw. So they're not going to announce who's going to run the TV show on the TV show. They're going to announce it on the pay-per-view. I got a chuckle out of that because, you know, why couldn't they start Raw on Monday night with the fallout of what happens at Payback with Mr. McMahon making an announcement? But then again, Frank, this storyline with Shane even being out there makes no sense to me, so why would I care?
It makes no sense because of the guy went through Hell in a Cell. And if you look back at it now, what was it really about? Yeah, exactly. I mean, okay, Undertaker, if he loses the match against Shane, then he will never again appear at WrestleMania. That's pretty much what it was about, I guess, at this point. I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where I believe at the end of the day, two things could happen. Either Vince is going to say, okay, Shane's going to run Raw, Stephanie, you're going to run SmackDown, or you are going to co-run Raw. You know, that's pretty much what I think they're going to do.
My thing with this, I'm kind of like you, Steve. I think I would have made that announcement on Raw. You know what I mean? I think that would certainly help your ratings. But, I mean, who knows? You know, I think that what they should have did is, you know, after Shane McMahon got in that position to run Raw, maybe Vince, you know, and Stephanie tried to get him out, but he still has that little stuff that he says he has on his father from back when they were a kid or whatever, notes or letters or whatever he claims to have. So I would use that for leverage. I wouldn't have never let that storyline go, but like I said, what do I know?
Yeah, the storyline just makes zero sense, and I couldn't care less. And I agree, Frank, with that crowd. They came out and they did the opening segment with Shane and Stephanie, and I think it was you, Teddy, that we were talking offline, that there just was no energy. The crowd was not into it at all. It just was so flat. And then I'm thinking, but Vince is going to announce who's going to run this show. I'm like, who cares? What difference does it make?
Well, you know what? To be fair, they were into the Stephanie Shane McMahon segment on Monday. They were into that. But everything after that, I don't know what the hell happened.
I don't think people cared that she was born in Hartford, Connecticut. Who cares?
Yeah, probably not.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more GRP right after this.
If you want to truly style and profile and tell it like it is, you got to be wearing the official t-shirt. Head over right now to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. That is the official merchandise store of Gurick.net. 8 great designs, $17.99. Plus shipping and handling will get you one of our shirts. Check them out today, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. They ship internationally, domestically, PayPal, debit, credit, you name it, they got it. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. And for the latest in pro wrestling news, keep it locked to Gurick.net, your number one source on the World Wide Web for the latest in pro wrestling news since 1997.
You can now listen to the
Gurick Report podcast
on the free TuneIn Radio app, featuring over 100,000 real radio stations, over 4 million podcasts streaming live from every continent, offering unprecedented access to listen to anything, anywhere. TuneIn lets you listen to over 100,000 real radio stations and more than 4 million podcasts from every continent, 200,000 mobile downloads per day. Available on iPhone, iPad, Android tablets, Windows 8, BlackBerry, Amazon Kindle. Available in over 200 branded products with millions of devices sold worldwide, including Samsung Smart TV, Roku, Sonos, Sony PlayStation, Amazon Echo, Panasonic Vieira TV, Logitech Squeezebox. TuneIn brings streaming radio to cars, including GM, Ford, BMW, Tesla, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, Nissan, Fiat, and more.
Check out youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast today. Subscribe to our channel, like our videos, leave your comments. We definitely appreciate your support.
Hey, what's up, players? Teddy Long. Hey, for all your pro wrestling news, all you've got to do is go to Gurick.net. That's right. For all your pro wrestling news, go to Gurick.net. And they have been number one since 1997. Now, that's a long time, players. That means it's a lot of credibility. Holla.
All right, we're back here on the GRP, episode 128. All the previous editions of this podcast available at www.gerweck.net. And in the last segment, Frank, you mentioned John Cena. He was critical of blood or lack of blood nowadays in WWE. He did announce that he's coming back, and he's coming back in May. Super Cena returns during Memorial Day, so I guess it gives a little spike to the Memorial Day weekend there. John Cena returns, and I guess when John Cena returns, what do you expect him to do with him?
I don't know. I mean, he could go back for the U.S. title, which I doubt. They're probably going to position John to be in the main event picture. I hate to say it, but it's about time. John Cena hasn't had the WWE Championship in a long time, and I think what's best for business right now for them would be to, you know, get back into the John Cena business, and that's putting the belt back on Cena. So you can see John Cena in a feud with Roman Reigns or AJ Styles if AJ Styles wins the belt, which I don't think will happen. So most likely you're going to have to insert Cena into a program with Roman Reigns, and then you'll see who's the top babyface in the company, which I know is going to be John Cena.
You know, Cena's got a lot of projects going on, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, I think he wants to come back and maybe get in that position again. But then again, you know, Cena's, you know, he's beat up, man. He's pretty much had it. He's had a lot of injuries. So I think he's basically on the way to maybe retirement. I don't know that for sure. But, you know, you just take so much, you know. And I think he has a lot more of his life to live. And I'm pretty sure he maybe wants to enjoy it, you know, doing stuff that he's doing now, like the reality shows and doing stuff, you know, that is behind the scenes and he don't have to bump around. But to put it back on him, you know, I think it would be a good idea, him and Roman Reigns. You know, we'd have to just see if that works. I just really don't know, you know, because the people have seen a lot of Cena, and they've seen a lot of Roman Reigns. So I don't know whether that'll work. Maybe it will, but, you know, we just have to see which direction they're going to go in.
Yeah, we should mention what they have now, the spinoff of Total Divas, be Total Bellas, and obviously you're going to see John Cena and Daniel Bryan on that show. So, yeah, he's going to be a busy man coming up.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot easier to do that and make money than to be bumping around every night in that ring and take a chance of getting injured again. You know, and he's had, you know, more than one injury. So, you know, you have to kind of come to the realization, you know, hey, I got a long life to live here. Let me try to enjoy some of it.
I know Frank's got to be eager to watch Total Bellas.
You mean the low-rent version of the Kardashians? You know, is that what it is? You know what I'm saying? No, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to watch the show. I'm sorry. I don't even watch Total Divas. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not excited about it. I mean, the Bellas probably think that, yeah, you know, we're going to be the Kardashians now. We got, you know, Daniel Bryan in the show. We got John Cena. We got John Laurinaitis. I mean, we're going to really get this thing going. And I'm not, you know, people are going to watch it. People will watch the show. It just won't be me.
Well, I don't know. Those Total Diva numbers were falling there towards the end, so I don't know. I guess having the firepower, star power of John Cena, and people, I guess, can follow along with Daniel Bryan. Now he's retired, he'll be doing this reality show, but I don't know. This seems like this is going to be a tough sell. I mean, we've had so many seasons of Total Divas, but then again, I don't know. Everybody's into reality shows these days, so what do I know? Maybe it'll be a big success.
But what people got to realize is that reality that you see on TV is not reality. So
it's scripted too.
Exactly. That's why I can't watch shit, because it's not reality.
All right.
if I want to see reality, I'll just go watch, you know, something on worldstarhiphop.com or something. That's reality to me.
Right. See, you got to always remember there's cameras there.
Yeah, so
you don't see them filming, but they're always filming.
Yeah, so this doesn't do anything for me either. But then again, Frank, it'll get higher ratings than TNA wrestling.
Steve, you can't do that. When you talk about listen, when you're talking about TNA, you got to respect it, okay? You got to put respect on their name. You got to respect their name, Steve. Okay, now are you finished with it? Or are you done?
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out. I was thinking about the dwindling numbers of Total Divas, but then again, it still does better than what's that other show called? Impact something.
Steve, once again, Wally, when you're talking about TNA Impact, you got to respect it, okay? Respect.
The name, Steve.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
You would think a show like, you know, that TNA would draw a better number than a reality show by WWE, but it doesn't. It did at one time, but doesn't anymore. I'm just pointing it out, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I'm at the end of the day, though, you got to respect it, Steve. You got to respect what they accomplished. When you're talking about the dead brand, TNA, you got to put respect on it. Respect their name. Respect what they've done. Now, once again, see, you're finished or you're done with it.
Well, one more thing. I guess there's a new investment company now involved in the negotiation. Just to update them, because we talked about, you know, Ron and Don Harris last podcast, possibly a new investor out there. Is this going to save TNA, Frank?
I don't know, man. You know, honestly, they've had so many chances to get the shit right. So it could. I mean, is TNA going to go out of business? No, it's not going to go out of business. But if this company can do something with TNA, more power to them. But I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I don't keep up with TNA to even say anything about TNA. So I'm just being honest about it.
Well, I guess one guy who's not going to get involved in TNA again is Jeff Jarrett. I don't know, Frank. You know, we talked to Jeff Jarrett last year, I think it was early last year, about Global Force Wrestling. They had, what, the television tapings, what, in, was it July or August of last year in Las Vegas? No television deal. And the last I saw of Jeff Jarrett, he's, what, selling gold these days?
Yeah, I mean, that's some weird shit right there. I don't get that one. I don't get that one at all.
What's he doing?
You got to make money.
He's selling gold.
Yeah, it's like some kind of pyramid scheme or some shit or something. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. But you know what? I'm really surprised though that this company is willing to invest in TNA and not invest in Global Force Wrestling. I think that's very telling. But
yeah, well,
I guess you think about it,
the guys.
So
Well, I think these guys that are going to invest in TNA, they certainly know who Jeff Jarrett is.
Yeah, but I heard this company that's investing in TNA includes Ron and Don Harris, and I thought the Harris brothers and Jeff Jarrett were boys, so I'm not understanding what's going on here as to why they would be investing in that one and not investing in the new venture of Global Force Wrestling. And still, where is the TV deal for GFW? Now, they taped some shows in Las Vegas last year. Where is the final product? Where is the show going to air? I've been saying it for a while now, and a lot of other people out there have been saying it as well. Hey, maybe you need to work out a deal with Netflix to put the show out there.
Yeah, I have no idea, brother. Who knows? Like I said, you can't ever believe anything these guys tell you. You know, if you ain't there when it actually happens, then don't believe it.
That was probably one of the strangest interviews that Frank and I conducted, because we have Jeff Jarrett on to talk about Global Force Wrestling, right? So, okay, Jeff, what is Global Force Wrestling? Well, I can't really go into details on it right now. What's the concept? Well, I can't really, you know, we're negotiating. We got these deals working. Who's going to be the talent on the talent roster, Jeff? Well, you know, we're in negotiations right now. And, you know, Frank, it's sad because we all need another group out there. We need another company to compete with Vince. And obviously this doesn't appear that this company's ever gotten off the ground. They started off with a co-promotion with New Japan Wrestling. I thought maybe that might be the initial thought, would be to help co-promote other international pay-per-views, and fully expecting at some point they would get a talent roster. That we saw they tried to tour, they drew flies, and we don't have heard anything as far as television deals, as far as television tapings, as far as talent negotiations. I haven't received a press release from Global Force Wrestling in a while. And then, as I said, Teddy, there was a note that he was selling gold from a less than reputable company. So I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't look good for Global Force Wrestling, which is unfortunate because we do need another company. And it seems like, Frank, it's the end of the line.
Well, I'm going to tell you something too, man, and here's what you got to believe, and always believe this. You know, you can't mistreat people, you can't lie to people, because what goes around comes around. So a lot of these guys are getting just what they deserve, man, because when they were on top and doing good, they mistreat a lot of people. So I found that out a long time ago. You cannot do that. Karma is a bitch. That's all I got to say.
Well, I mean, it could be the end of the line, Steve, but let's be honest about it. The line never started to begin with.
True.
You know? So, I mean, that's just the bottom line with that. I mean, and yeah, we need another wrestling company out there. We need an alternative to what we currently see. But right now, simply because they don't have a TV deal for people to check out the product, I don't think it's ever going to be GFW.
And then let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something else too, Frank. These guys never did have one. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, but you know what I mean? I've heard this bullshit, you know, for 30-some years in wrestling. They probably never even had one. They tell people they got a lot of investors, and they'll throw out some names and stuff, but they'll tell that to a lot of the guys that they got working for them because they're green guys, and they don't know any better. You know, they just believe what they hear, and they just thinking, okay, one day, you know, we're going to be on TV, and I'm going to, you know, have a good job here. But they know all the time from the beginning whether they had a TV deal or not, man. This is just the game, man. They're playing the game.
I don't think this concept was ever going to work, Frank, because once we did see something of Global Force Wrestling as far as a ring, it was a TNA ring. It was the same TNA talent. And as we said here on this podcast, what separated Global Force Wrestling from TNA? It was just a TNA light version, and who wants to watch that?
Exactly. I mean, it was TNA version 2, and it had green ropes, and that was pretty much it. It was the same show, and, I mean, they had a lot of the indie talents out there, but they had a majority of TNA talents. And if you have such a sour taste in your mouth from TNA, why would you want to go watch Jeff Jarrett's low-rent version of TNA?
It's the game. It's the game, brother. Just playing the game, I'm telling you.
I think it's very telling that TNA can switch networks. What, this is their third network, and Global Force Wrestling cannot get a television deal with essentially the same talent, the same concept, the same ring. I don't know the details of the Pop TV deal or whatever, but it seems like they're paying their own production. They're probably making nothing from the rights of showing TNA wrestling on Pop TV. And I guess that's just kind of where we are today. And WWE is all the success. They're the ones making the money, and everybody else is just, just trying to survive.
Well, everybody else is not doing it like it should be done. You know, the WWE is doing it right. These other guys, they get money and they bring in a whole bunch. These other companies get money and they bring in a whole bunch of people and give them all this money. And they, you know, somebody's got to know that some of these guys that they give all this money to, they're not worth that. I don't understand. How can you sit up and let somebody give you this big figure here, and you got to know within yourself, if they was worth all that, they'd still be working for Vince if they were worth that much money. So why would you do that? So people start off wrong. You got to start off right. If this company takes over TNA, they should get, there are a lot of guys out there that are out of work. There are a lot of guys that maybe would like to move, change positions, or change, get out of the WWE. But offer these guys the right amount of money. You know, you ain't got to blow them up with millions of dollars and thousands of dollars. You know, give a guy enough money to feed his family and make a living. You know what I mean? And treat him right. That's all you got to do. And get some good talent, and they'll be successful. But everybody wants to fuck everybody.
You know, too, Frank, we discussed this on the last podcast, was the comments by Disco Inferno. Say he reads the news, and there's nothing we're doing in wrestling that's going to generate interest in wrestling again, get back some of the casual fans that we've lost. And you look at, we have TNA, it's faltering. And so Jeff Jarrett comes along with new investors, and what's he does? He does the exact same thing TNA does. There's just nothing out there. And you just talked about with John Cena, you know, they're not going to change anything with PG. It's going to stay PG. They're not going to go PG-13 or 14 or whatever. It's all going to stay the same, and we're going to be in the same boat a year from now we are today. Nothing really is changing because we're not attracting new people. I'm seeing it on the website. I mean, the people that visit Gerwick.net is down because generally we go along with what's going on with WWE, and not as many WWE fans on a regular basis. So thus we suffer the consequence. They changed their business with pay-per-view, and now you can get the pay-per-views for $9.99 a month. So we're just seeing a direction here where we're not really selling a product that's interesting, cool, hip, that's going to attract a larger bulk of fans, and we're just going to continue on as we currently are.
You know, see, the biggest thing that I hear all the time is when people say that they want the Attitude Era back. And the problem with that is that the WWE, before this happened in 1995, before Nitro came along, they were a PG product with clowns and shit. You know what I'm saying? They weren't doing anything that was cutting edge or had attitude in it. The only reason why they went to the Attitude Era to begin with is because they were desperate. It was desperation. As Abby Green said the other day, it was desperation. They had to go there because they were getting the asses handed to them by WCW. Now that there is no WCW anymore, now that they don't have any reason to be cutting edge and they're still making a shitload of money, it doesn't matter to them. Because all the thing they care about is network subscriptions and making money. They're making a lot more money now than they did in the Attitude Era simply because they have more revenue streams now than they did in the Attitude Era. They have a network now. They got DVD distribution. They got all this merchandise. They got championship replica belts that they're selling. They got live event tours all over the world. They're making a lot more money now because of that, but they're not making any money because of the actual product. I mean, at the end of the day, it sucks where we're at in this industry, but WWE is the leader of that. And if WWE isn't going to change, the wrestling business will continue to suffer because of that. And I think a lot of the people's attitudes out there is they want the Attitude Era back. And it's, I'd love to see a more cutting edge WWE. I think if they did that, then wrestlers like Roman Reigns would be able to get something going. Dean Ambrose could really be a lunatic fringe. You know, they could really do a lot of crazy stuff on the show. But right now, because of sponsorships and because of just the way society is in general, it just will never happen again. They have no reason to change because you're not giving them a reason to change. They don't give a shit about ratings. The only thing they care about is making money, and they're consistently doing that. So why should we change? If the people are coming to the AT&T Stadium and we're drawing 100,000 people there, then we must be doing something right. And that's the way they look at the situation. Me personally, I don't really think that they're making that much money on the main product as they are on, say, network merchandise and all that other shit. So they have no reason to change, in my opinion.
And the bottom line is they're making money. Just that simple.
Exactly. AT&T Stadium, 100,000 people for WrestleMania. That's probably one of the biggest numbers for the current product that they're going to do this year. And that's why they're going to, you know, plan on to the next WrestleMania. But as a whole, it's just there's nothing there anymore that's going to attract. And a lot of it is that we being fans, as long as we've been fans, and a lot of people out there that's listening to this podcast right now, we're used to seeing the excellence in this industry. We're used to seeing compelling storylines with Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock and Triple H and NWO and DX. And it's just not on the same level today. And I think that's what it is. The wrestling is a lot better today, but the storytelling is not. I would say in the past couple of weeks, they've been doing a very good storytelling build towards Payback, but on a whole wide spectrum, they're not doing that. And I think that's why a lot of people are not coming into wrestling anymore. It's not the cool thing.
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends, you know, Teddy. Back in the day, we'd have a WWF party. I mean, Sunday would come along, and it was pay-per-view time, and somebody brings the pizza, somebody brings the cold pop, and we sit down and we split the cost of the pay-per-view, and it was an event. Same thing with the WCW shows, the ECW shows. But today, most of my friends that were big wrestling fans, I mean, they might occasionally ask me a wrestling question like, oh, how is so-and-so doing in the wrestling business today or whatever. But on a whole, you can – and maybe you felt it too, you know, Teddy. You traveled around and you now independently on the independent circuit – you know, you talk to fans. Do you get that sense that, you know, the wrestling business has really dropped off and it's really lost something?
Well, yeah, people talk to me all the time, you know. But and like I said, I hate to say this, you know, because I know people are going to take this wrong. But everywhere that I've been, was on the independent scene, and people talk to me, they say to me, please go back to WWE. Why are you not on WWE? And I'm not saying this blowing my own horn, and I get tweets from it all the time, and they can follow me at Teddy Play Along, because I retweet all this stuff that people send me, so you let you know that it's not me begging to go back to the WWE. So that's all I hear all the time. Man, we sure wish you was back on there. I got some tweets I just sent out from last night. People said, man, you should be running Raw and this and that. So I hear it all the time. You know, not so much as them saying, you know, they don't really care much about the wrestling or the product no more. They just come and jump right on me. Why don't you be back on there? Why ain't you there? And that's exactly what I hear, and it's the truth.
There's no reason you shouldn't be running one of these shows, either Raw or SmackDown. And now, you know, Frank was just talking about possibly teasing maybe Shane gets Raw, Stephanie gets SmackDown or something, or she's reluctantly doing it or whatever, but it's got to be some creativity. But, you know, you were telling us offline is, and I don't know how far you want to get into this, but there's been times, you know, yourself that you get to a show and things change 3, 4, 5 times at a production meeting, and so you know they, if they do have any long-term plans, a lot of times they get to the TV show and it's kind of like it's wadded up into a ball. And it seems like from week to week, they're kind of booking on the fly and they really have no direction with the show.
Well, you know, it's a lot of pressure with this job. And, you know, I wouldn't say they didn't have any direction. I just think that, you know, everything is kind of laid out and ready to go. And sometimes Vince looks at something and it's not right. It's not what he wants. So, you know, and for instance, you know, I've been there and it's like 5 minutes before we go live, before we go on Raw, and there's no show because Vince has sent it back and told him to rewrite it. He doesn't want it. There's something in there he doesn't like. So 5 minutes before we go on the air, everybody's walking around with their thumb up their ass, but we're waiting on a show. Nobody knows exactly what they're doing. So those nights are sometimes the nights that we, you know, they call the show on the fly. They just let you know what you're doing as you go. Other ways that Vince will put pressure on you sometime is when I was there, you know, I'd always get myself on the writers, and once I'd put that in my head, what I'm about to go out there and say, I have it all down, ready to go. And I can tell you, one night I'm standing there getting ready to go out, my music starts to play, and Vince calls me over and he says, hey, what are you saying out there tonight? And, you know, I'm like, well, you approved it. I know he knows, so now I got to repeat everything all over to him, what I'm just about to go out and say. And he tells me, I don't want you to say that. Here's what I want you to say. And he starts giving me another whole promo all over again that I've got to remember right now. I ain't got time to think about this. I got to get this in my head because he's sending me right out there to say just what he just finished telling me. But I was, you know, I was blessed to have this good memory, and God gave me this talent to do what I do, and I was able to remember what he said, and I went out there and pulled it off. But he knows. He wants you to make sure that you're on top of your game, and he'll do stuff like that to you. You know, he'll have you running around like that, but he wants to make sure that you're on top of it, because if you drop the ball during those kind of circumstances, then you're not his guy.
I guess that just shows you how talented you are, because there's probably certain talents they pull aside and they say, let everything you just rehearsed, forget it. This is what I want you to say. It takes talent to kind of go on the fly to say, okay, you know, forget that totally. Here's the new script. This is what I want you to say out there. So I guess that really speaks to the talent level you had, Teddy, that you can, on the fly, just totally change direction and go out there and still deliver a great promo.
I stayed in my position for 9 years, and that's how I was able to do that, because I was able to please Vince McMahon. Anything that he threw in front of me, I pulled it off. I had no problem with it. And I think I amazed him by doing that. You know, he'd never seen nobody like that, because one time me and him was doing a promo, and I never forget, it was Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. It was doing the thing with The Undertaker. And he went off script on me. He just started talking about something that wasn't even written. And he asked me, I remember, he says, you think you're lucky, man? You think you're lucky? You like working here? Or something, he said. He said, you think you're lucky, man? And I just looked right at him, right out, you know, off script. And I said, yeah, I work for you, sir. So I stunned him. He had nothing else to say. He walked away from me. Oh, his last words, he looked at me and says, damn good answer. And he walked away. And when I came back through, Undertaker stopped me and told me, he said, hey, you stunned him. You got him. He said, I've never seen anybody stun him like that before.
Wow. You know, Frank, this kind of booking on the fly and last-minute changes right before a television show, it reminds me of a different wrestling company.
Yeah, it reminds me of the old WCW. So, yeah. And I'm really surprised. No, you know what? I'm not surprised, because I see a lot of the same mistakes that are being made right now in the WWE. WCW used to do them all the time. So I'm not surprised by anything. I mean, one of the problems that with WCW outside of the NWO getting the sale was they had to make Nitro a three-hour show so Eric Bischoff could cover the cost of Thunder. So, hey, WWE has a third hour now so they can get more TV revenue. So go figure.
All right, we got a couple of poll results we want to mention here. We ran the poll. Should Charlotte break away from Ric Flair? We talked about this on the podcast. Teddy, they say 67% say break them up, split them up. And maybe they'll be teasing that this Sunday with Ric Flair in Charlotte's corner as Bret Hart returns to be in Natalya's corner. But I'm just reading here as we're doing the show is that Bret's not very happy right now. He doesn't really want to be at Payback, but apparently he's just doing it for Natalya. So who knows what they're going to do on Sunday?
Yeah, you're right. Who knows?
That's pretty amazing, Frank. Is it? You know, Bret has the reputation of being a whiner, complainer anyways, but does it surprise you that he would say ultimately he doesn't want to be at Payback, but he's just doing it for Natalya?
Not at all, because Bret Hart has always been, once again, as we talked about with Ryback on the last podcast, whether Ryback was working us or not, he's always been one of those guys who's outspoken, whether it's in interviews or whether it's on his Twitter account. Same thing with Bret Hart. Bret Hart's been very outspoken about the WWE creative for the past couple of years. So I'm not surprised at all to hear that he doesn't really want to be there. He's just doing it for Natalya. And I respect that.
Yeah. I guess if they ask you a question, Teddy, you know, I guess sometimes, and you know, you've done interviews before, is
yeah.
When they ask you a question, they want an honest answer. And if that's how you honestly feel, say it.
Well, I mean, that's Bret Hart. You know, he don't pull no punches, brother. You know, he's just straight up. That's what I like about him. He's always been a man, and, you know, he spoke what's on his mind. So, yeah, I definitely believe he would say that. Right back, too. I had a chance to work with him, too. You know what I mean? So he was always one of those guys that spoke out.
Oh, the Ryback situation, too, Frank. The last podcast we talked about, the interview that he did overseas, he wasn't real happy that the U.S. title was not defended at WrestleMania. Then I saw we got some flack maybe for bringing up, you know, would he possibly be punished? His match was announced for Payback, and then I'm following up with the guys today, and I realize it's the pre-show. So I guess another pay-per-view is not going to be on the main show, Frank.
Well, I mean, shit, Ryback wanted more work, so he's got it. I mean, I don't really know what to say about that. I mean, you know, we're going to get flagged for anything you say anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me.
Curtain jerker, I guess. I don't know. We also ran the poll, are you a Connor fan, Connor of the Ascension? Now, Frank, for a long time before these guys showed up on WWE television, you were pushing the Ascension. Ascension got the call. The run certainly has not gone the way anybody would have hoped it would. Connor suspended. You were telling me what this is, the second suspension. So 80% of those voting are not a Connor fan, and things look like it's not looking good for Connor long term.
I mean, they can make the decision if they want to release him now. You know, WWE has yet to really do any spring cleaning. So if I were him and Adam Rose, I'd be kind of concerned as relates to if I'm going to have a job or not once my suspension is up. So, I mean, I don't know. But they had a lot of promise. They were the most over tag team down in NXT before they came up to the main roster. When they came to the main roster, for some particular reason, WWE had to screw with it, and they made them into a low-rent Demolition Road Warrior. So there you go.
Hey, Teddy, was there a common feeling, like, after WrestleMania from the crew, the roster? You know, after WrestleMania, they do that typical spring cleaning. They start, I mean, it used to be back in the day when you were there, was they would have the draft where one guy would go from Raw or SmackDown from Raw. But now, in recent years, it's been, you know, after WrestleMania comes, we may clean house, we may call up some guys from the developmental. So are guys right now on pins and needles about their future in WWE?
Well, yeah, it's always like that right after WrestleMania. They know that the cut's coming. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of them are on pins and needles right now, you know, wondering, you know, what's really going to happen with them. So, you know, it's really a bad time, you know, for some people, because some people definitely are going to let go.
Absolutely. Also, we have a couple of questions and comments we want to throw in at the end of the podcast. And at any time, you can email me betweentheropes@hotmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at Gerwick, and we're also on Twitter at Gerwick Report, and as well as Teddy Long is at Teddy Play Along. You can follow along, shoot some questions at us or comments. We'll definitely address them here on the podcast. And we got Denise Bates says WWE needs to bring back Teddy Long. Go figure.
Yeah. Well, what we just get through talking about, I tell you, people, that's all that people say to me all the time. And, you know, so I ain't blowing my own horn. I ain't asking to go back up there, because I'll be honest with you, brother. I'm happy. I'm relaxed. I'm rested, well rested. I feel great. So I don't need no more of that stress in my life. And if I had to go back up there, believe me, I'd go back, you know, not trying to tell them what to do, but basically kind of on my turn, man. I just don't want no more of that stress.
And you're on the GRP now anyways, right? So
exactly. This is my home right here, and this is where I'm going to stay.
Amen, brother. We also have
this is a triple threat tag team match, players.
Holla.
At
we have Richard here says, putting Teddy Long on the GRP is a tremendous asset for the Gerwick Report podcast. I'd have to agree with that sentiment, Frank.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have a guy here who has actually been in the business. He's been in, you know, WCW. He was a, you know, crucial part of the WWE as far as being a SmackDown general manager for so many years. And Teddy Long is a guy who has seen it all and done it all in his industry. So, yeah, he is a tremendous asset to GRP and Gerwick.net.
Amen. And then we also have Mamba Kitchen said, I guess we were talking in the last podcast about China getting into the WWE Hall of Fame, but he points out, there are several deceased women that also deserve honors of getting into the WWE Hall of Fame, including Bertha Faye, Luna Vachon, Sapphire, Miss Elizabeth. So, you know, Frank, they always seem a little leery on the deceased wrestlers, but all of them they mentioned here I would have to agree with. I guess maybe the notable exception, and I don't know, maybe you guys would disagree with me. I'm not sold necessarily on Sapphire in the WWF Hall or WWE Hall of Fame, but she definitely had a run there with Dusty. What do you think of those names?
Elizabeth, no doubt. Should have been there a long time ago. Luna Vachon, yeah. Bertha Faye, yeah. Sapphire, I don't know. She had her run there. She was a big part of Dusty Rhodes' act, I'll tell you that much. Dancing with him with the polka dots, I mean, she played a big part in that. But is that necessarily going to get you a Hall of Fame induction? Well, here's the bottom line on that. The bottom line is that there's one guy who sits in his office named Vince McMahon who makes a choice of who goes in and who doesn't. So if Vince McMahon decides one year, let's put in Sweet Sapphire, Sweet Sapphire will go in there. That's how that's going to go.
It's just that simple.
What do you think, Teddy? I know she was kind of the sidekick there of Dusty, the American Dream when he came in. Does she deserve the Sapphire deserve WWE Hall of Fame honors?
Well, I put it to you like this. I met her. She's a nice lady and everything, you know, and she did have a good stunt, good run there in WWE with Dusty. But, you know, I don't think that she stayed in our business long enough, you know what I mean? It's a certain thing that they say now, people pay their dues, but that doesn't really mean anything, because there are a lot of guys come in, walk in the door, and go straight to the top, so nobody's having to pay any dues anymore. But like I said, I just don't think she was around long enough to deserve the credibility of going into the WWE Hall of Fame, you know, and that's just how I feel about it. I think if she'd have put in just a little more time, at least 3 or 4 years there, and became involved in a lot more things, not, you know, not so much with Dusty, but in other things, you know, where she could have gave her, you know, they could have gave her a little bit of more credibility. So I just don't think she was long enough there to deserve that.
I mean, you know, she left the company shortly after she, you know, sided with the Million Dollar Man at SummerSlam 90. So they never had a continuation to that storyline with, you know, Sapphire turning heel and going with DiBiase and, you know, continuing the feud with Dusty Rhodes. It never happened. So, I mean, maybe if they would have done that and then, you know, saw her progression through the company, but it was too short. So I can't say right now, hey, you know, does she deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? I can't say that right now because she didn't have that long of a run, as Teddy just mentioned. There's more deserving individuals out there that deserve to be in there. They were part of some very big moments in the WWF. And right now, at the top of that list, you know, we just lost China. Yeah, China is very deserving to go in there, no doubt. But at the top of my list right now, you got to eventually put in Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that'd be my thing. I'm going to put Sapphire in. There's a lot of names ahead of her. But then again, what does that matter, Frank? They do what they want anyway. I mean,
right.
you said it. The bottom line is, it's what Vince decides. So we can sit around and talk about credentials and what they did here and what they did there. But at the end of the day, they can do whatever they want.
You know, I would want to see, though, one day how it would go if WWE, and they're never going to do this, but if WWE would actually leave the Hall of Fame voting in the fans' hands to see who goes in that class, I'd love to see that and see some of the results of those outcomes.
Not going to happen.
No, not in a million years.
It's a good thought, and they always try to interact with the universe and go on social media, whatever, but I don't see that happening. Vince likes that power of deciding who's in, and Triple H can just pretend he doesn't have any influence, and that's just the way it's going to be, unfortunately. But it's a good sentiment, anyways.
Right.
We have Bruce from Twitter asks, and we actually played this clip for Teddy before we did the show, is that you in a trench coat at a circus refereeing Crash Holly versus the Mean Street Posse? Is that Teddy Long out there?
Yep, that is Teddy Long out there. So it just goes to show you, Bruce, it's just no telling what I will do and what I will not do.
And just to be fair, we mentioned this to Teddy, and at first he didn't remember, and then we went back and showed the clip for him, played it for him. He did remember that, but
yeah, I had forgot all about that too. That's a lot of stuff that I've done. You know, sometimes I go back to YouTube and look at it. I forgot all about it, but I say to myself, man, what is it that you would not do?
Ah, days, Frank, the hardcore championship.
Well, I think they have a hardcore championship DVD coming out shortly from WWE. So
maybe you'll be on that DVD there, Teddy. You obviously refereed some hardcore matches.
Well, you never know.
Royalty check.
Yeah, right.
Pay the man.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Vince ain't making any money, right? He's broke, so never mind. Anyways, as I said, if you want to interact with us, we're on Facebook, we're on social media, Twitter. As Frank has also said earlier on the show, can't support us financially, can't make a purchase right now of a shirt. We have 8 great designs up there at ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. GRP, the Raw Retro shirt, the Nitro shirt, the ECW shirt. We have a Raw Deal t-shirt. There's a t-shirt that Teddy Long supported as well that he put on for us, and you can get that shirt as well, all available one click away at ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. But if you can't buy a t-shirt, definitely spread the word, social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those out there. Let people know. You know, interact with us as well on the YouTube channel. I know Frank follows the comments pretty closely up there. More and more feedback we're getting on the YouTube channel, the better, right, Frank?
Definitely. And that's, once again, youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Also, the Raw Deal Podcast, myself and Abby Green, exclusive now to the YouTube channel. So check it out, because we definitely let loose on there.
At Teddy Play Along on Twitter, teddylong.com. And what do you have coming up, playa?
Well, I'm pretty busy a little bit this month. I'm on May the 26th. I'm up in Ringo, Georgia for a big show. It's called Wrestle Jam, and I'm going to be on that show along with Kevin Nash. The Nature Boy Ric Flair is on that show. Also, WWE Hall of Famer Ron Simmons, Jim Cornette, and a lot of other stars will be on that big show. And on May the 15th, I'm going to be in Barnesville, Georgia for Wrestle America. That's a show with Luke and Carl Gallus will be a part of that. And that's kind of what I got going. That's kind of about all I got going, players. Although, and also on May the 28th, I'm going to be down in New Orleans for Wildcat Sports along with my man Luke Hawk.
Very cool. So definitely check out Teddy Long, and you post your dates on teddylong.com as well, right? So they can check, they can keep track of your schedule there as well.
Yes, I do. It's all on Twitter and it's all on my website, teddylong.com, and Instagram is teddylongwrestling, and Twitter once again at teddyplayalong. Holla!